like the you think these the banks for in the street for people to sit down, they design the banks so people cannot sleep in them. So there are anti-beggar banks, no? You know what I mean, right? Benches, okay. Not banks. So the ethics of hacking is like this machine or this apparatus, this thing is built in some way. I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna do whatever I want. So I'm gonna challenge the authority embedded in that machine to make another user's anarchy. So that's an important idea, because that's the way to build autonomy. Because you have, on the one hand, you have power to exercise domination, and on the other one, you have autonomy, which is what we want to develop. Okay, and here comes the idea of what I said, social technology. When I talk about social technology, I'm thinking on an idea that Foucault talks about governance technologies and technologies of the self. And this is a different ways of technology. It's not material technology. It's the way you control. It's how you enable a social system that makes people behave in a certain way. And technologies of the self are the things you use to change subjectivity. For example, if you have a diary and you write everything you do because you want to change something in your life, that's a technology of the self. Or when you go to therapy because you want to change whatever habit you have, you're trying to change your subjectivity. So this is something that somebody does to be autonomous. But it's usually done to make people think and behave as you want. Like TV, for example, like they are forming our subjectivities and everything. No? Marketing and all that stuff. So these are what I call social technologies, because usually they are mixed. Like governance technology and technologies of the self, they are mixed. When they want to govern you in a certain way and they make you think certain things. Okay, this is gonna be easier to explain when we think about the first empires. There are a lot of studies of the first empires, and they are useful because it presents us with a situation that technology wasn't so developed, and it's something like very old, and it's useful to understand the nature of things. Like technology. They make us shut up. Okay. And so there is an author called Lewis Mumford, who studies the story of technology in the world, like from the prehistoric times to nowadays. And he talks about the mega machine. And he says that the first empires of the world, they made the mega machine was not a machine, a physical machine, was the social mega machine. Because the main advance they did was to make people behave as pieces in a machine. So when you take slaves and you organize their work, like every human is not a human, it's really a piece in your machine. And this is very well understood with the armies. Like, you know, the first, the name in English, Las Falanges, is like a way of fighting in the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire.
The vanguard.
What?
The vanguard.
Vanguard. I don't know. It's a way of fighting that you need to be in a group, because it's organized. Like, if you are alone, you cannot do that. One guy alone cannot do that. They have to be like a machine. They have to operate like a machine, or the archers, or everything, no? So the army was organized as machines, as human machines. So that's a governance technology. That's a technology because you are making people behave as pieces in a machine. And also, the other part of the old empires was religion, which is a technology of the self. Because they wanted to legitimize themselves as that the emperor was like sent from God, or was God itself, or whatever, no? So that's a technology of the self. So these two things are what are enabled to control society from the beginning, from all the states. And nowadays the form has changed, but it's also working. Like, like how it's working nowadays. Like with, think about social networks. Like they make you behave in a certain way and they change your subjectivity because you think you are popular if you have likes or whatever. Or think about these collaborative applications, no? Like Airbnb or Uber, all that stuff, no? It's an application that you just download the application, you follow the steps, and you are in their system. You are a piece of their production system. So we said the nature of power is the amplification of the will, the projection of the will. But of the will of whom? Of whoever. It's like an individual will. And this in order to understand this, think about the, I don't know if you are thinking, if you are like about the comparison between these state systems, these ruling systems, and what was before. Like think about like tribes or traditional societies, and what is the difference? You understand what I mean? No? Like when you are thinking about an empire that works with the army and like a technological state, the other possibility is a traditional society. A traditional society with techniques and so you have like different imaginaries. You know what I mean? Like when you have like these abilities and they have also some kinds of technology, but it's not so well developed. And so what is the difference between these two situations? You know what I mean? So the difference is that in the traditional societies, the development of, there are not so much technology as technique, which is embedded in the individuals, and they have to face social and material limitations. Think about like traditional agriculture and genetic modification agriculture. So the idea of technology is like whatever I want, whatever vegetable or whatever animal I want to build, I just will build it by force. Like I have technology, I have laboratories, and I will invest all my money there because I want to build whatever plant or whatever thing, no, to make money or whatever. So that's like the way of forcing nature to become whatever you want. And the other thing, the other way is taking time with limitations. You breed plants, you breed animals, but you are also changing the environment, like traditional agriculture or ganadería. ¿Cómo se dice ganadería?
Farming.
Or farming or whatever. What they do here, like the land here, all the landscape is changed due to human action. But there are two different ways of doing it. One of these ways is like taking in account the social limitations and the nature limitations. And the other one is just, okay, I want to make money, I will just take all this land and do whatever I want to invest whatever money I have to make technology to have the outcome I want. So this is important because we want to develop a new way of social life, no? So we have to think about what are the different ways. But the problem is like in the old times they did that because they didn't have another way. Like traditional societies, they work how they worked because they were forced to do that. They were forced to breed plants because they didn't have genetic modification technology. So they have to breed plants, they have to be patient, they have to respect nature, they have to balance production and reproduction of things, no? But nowadays we are not in that situation. We are in a situation that we have to limit ourselves to use technology in that way. So we can go back to the traditional order, but we have to do it on purpose. And also the traditional order, traditional societies, they might look very nice from our perspective, but they also had domination relationship, they had patriarchy, they had a lot of problems. But they weren't destroying nature as we are doing nowadays, but they have a lot of other problems. So we have to, it's like a cycle. We have to finish the, to complete the cycle. Like we start from a point with traditional technologies, then we develop technologies and we empower the individual to do whatever they want to the world. And now we have to do, to use that power to make a society that we want to live in. It's a life we want to live in. No? So we have to put ourselves, to put limitations to ourselves. And I am going to just read a paragraph from the text. It says, applying hacking to social technology means to study their inner workings and experimenting with new ways of community life, rethinking who we are, what we want, and how we relate with others. Not doing so means being determined by ideological social designs built everywhere. And in the face of the enormous advance of control and domination technologies, with the digital technologies we have today, we need to systematize the research and production of more self-governing technologies. So for example, what we do here, like the assembly, like the way we have the schedule for the works and the shifts and the talks, the way we organize, that can be thought of a technology. Because if we just write it down, we can give it to another group of people and they follow in the manual. You know what I mean? It's like objectify. They follow in the manual, they don't know anything about assemblies, hack meetings, but we could make a manual and somebody could read it, okay, we have to do this and we have to do that, and following it, they could reproduce it. So that's important if we want to, that's a way of projecting this form of organizing. We systematize the knowledge, no? And this is also what the capitalist industries always do. They are like obsessed with the idea of extracting, converting tacit. They talk about this. They talk it like this: like tacit knowledge with explicit knowledge. So you have a skilled worker that knows how to do something. So they want to observe and learn and make a manual with what he does. And then they can show it to another of not so skilled workers to make it to do it. No, you know what I mean. No, they want to extract the knowledge of the skilled people to use non-skilled people and pay them less to make the same work. So we can use that same logic to project to improve our social organization systems. But in order to do that, we have to systematize that. We have to think about it as a technology in a kind of a managerial way, you know, like the academy system that Rock was talking about yesterday in Rojava, no? So it's a system that you can apply. And there is a question, yes, go. If is it difficult?
And to separate it. Like, is it good to put in a manual and drop it in a place where you don't have a political consciousness of why you want certain autonomy in certain ways?
No? Of course. Of course, because that should be like I talk about governance technologies and self technologies. Like you have to, on one way is how people organize. And the other hand is how people, the subjectivity, how people think about what they do, how they change their minds, so you need to have both things.
I think that what we do here is part of a long learning process, and it's not stable. We continue to evolve, and while documenting it is probably interesting, systematizing it would definitely kill it.
Yeah.
Like, somehow everything is a systematization. So to have every day an assembly at 12, it's a systematization. So every time that you are thinking about how we organize ourselves, you are thinking a system. The point is that if you are not thinking this system, how do we want to have it? How do we want to organize in a horizontal way? We are living in a system that is completely a hierarchical structure. So if we don't think about the system that we want to live, the system that we will create, which is going to be really influenced from the system where we are living. So I think that when we think about this kind of things, like periodic assemblies and how do we want to organize ourselves, The point is to think about what we want to go. Because if we don't think about these things, and if we don't systematize our ways of organizing, at the end, the systematization is the one of the system, the capitalist system. So I think it's important to give this meaning to also how do we want to organize ourselves. And I think the summary is a good example of a system. It's not a fixed system, but it's a system.
I was talking about, because I know persons who reject assembly, I think you're mixing two things. I think you're mixing two things. Reproducing something, doing it and working among a group and doing it several times, and documenting and reproducing somewhere else something that has been done here as a systematization in the computer environment is two really two different approaches.
Okay, one problem that might have this systematization of knowledge is to lose the view of the, like the spirit of it, like what the other person said, like the political meaning of it, the political, no? So you cannot systematize things and become robots, because that's not what we want, no? That's not what we, okay, like this, you know what I mean. So you have to do it in a flexible way. You have to balance this systematization and also the human feeling and the political mean of it, like doing this without any political purpose wouldn't have sense, no? So you have to balance both things. And then I would like to... Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
I also don't really like assemblies and wasted too much of my time with assemblies repeated for the wrong reasons.
Sorry, louder. I cannot hear you.
But what I wanted to talk about... systematizing stuff, documenting it, making it reproducible, is also making ourselves interchangeable. And this can be a good thing, because especially if you like gather together to solve a problem, usually the institution which solves a problem should abolish itself by solving it, so in the end it doesn't become a new problem. I'm not sure if you know this like pattern. So if you make yourself interchangeable so others can copy how you did it, and you're also making yourself contingent, so you can leave again and stop existing as soon as you're done. And this is not like the case of Tarnak, because Tarnak wants to stay, of course, and this whole thing we're living in wants to stay. So maybe it's not the best example here, but also still I wanted to mention that.
And that's exactly what a capitalist industry wants. They want people to be contingent, and they want to exchange them. And but we can use that kind of same knowledge to improve our political action. That's the point. Without losing the connection to political means and to human that people is. I mean. Exactly. Okay, so just to give you ideas, like this, thinking about this, no, these ways of producing knowledge, technologies of the self, we will have a lot of learnings from feminism, like protocols from aggression or things like that, codes of conduct, or another, just giving ideas. Another technology of the self would be therapy, support groups, discourse analysis. Do you know anything? Do you know what's discourse analysis? It's a method of research that is very used to criticize discourse in advertisement and things like that. No, the way or movies. No, the way movies are producing an ideology. So it's a technique to understand how this ideology is projected into the play and to neutralize it. And also to reflect here in the technologies of the self, it's very important to reflect on the desire, because we are driven by our desire. So the best way, the better we understand our own desire and how it is produced, because maybe we desire things that we shouldn't desire. No, if we decide, like for example, to have a huge car or have a, you know what I mean. No, so we have to rethink that. That kind of things. And social governance technologies, which would be autonomy, for autonomy, not to govern others, but to auto-govern ourselves, would be like assemblies. Okay, and to think about this, it's interesting to think about the technological process, the steps in a technological process. So there are like four steps. The first one is creating a code, creating developing a knowledge and creating a code. The second one is with that code designing a system, and the third one is implementing the system, and the fourth one is connecting the system to other systems. I mean, this might sound a little bit abstract, but maybe it's easier thinking it in three levels. Like the first level would be like the ontology or epistemological level, in which we think who we are, what we want, what are our principles, what are our values. Like we rethink ourselves. And we usually don't do that. When we gather to do anything, we usually never reflect on that, never discuss that. We just assume that we all have the same aims or the same values, but it's interesting to work on that, and to work on that explicitly. The second one is designing the system. Like, for example, tomorrow there will be a talk here about how they organize here. So they are always thinking about how they make decisions, how they make the communal life and everything. And it would be very interesting because it's this, exactly. It's how they organize business, how they design a social system. And the third one is implementing it, which is really what technology is. Okay, any questions on this? And related to this is the history of the commons. I'm sure you are familiar with the commons, and you know, you are familiar with that, with the story of the commons and everything, like the Ostrom story and all that stuff, no? No? You want me to explain a little bit? So the commons is how people organize before private property. There were a lot of communal property, and it was very common in Europe, in all over Europe and other places, that a community, a village, owned the whole land. The whole land around the village was from the community. There was no individual owner. So it was a communal property. And they had rules, traditional rules, to manage this property, and it worked very well. It was very sustainable, and all the people made food with these systems, and with the development of how you say that, the acercamiento de tierras, there was in the end of the medieval time the closure of the lands. They destroyed the commons. They took the commons away, and they sold it to people, to individual people. So they made. That was the first. Necessary for the development of capitalism. So all that knowledge was lost, and there was an economist who researched on these systems and systematized the way these systems work. It was Eleanor Ostrom, which is very famous. Won the Nobel Prize and everything. And nowadays it's very difficult to go back to these traditional systems. But we can learn from the way they were working in order to implement these things now. And here the main conclusion is the difference between the logic of the market, which is the one that the neoliberal system wants us to believe in and is what works, how the world works, and the logic of the commons. So in the logic, the market is really a technology. Like, we don't see it as a technology, but it's like a huge technological system that makes systematize how we relate with each other, with the money. Like, basically, the market works giving an abstract value to everything, which is the monetary value of things, and making people exchange it freely. So you design the system, and then you put people there, and people. And the logic of the market is that way people will be free because they could do whatever they want, individual freedom with their money, and they could decide, make their decisions and everything, no? So we know this is bullshit, but that's the rhetoric of the market. And in the commons it's different. The commons, the logic is that you have to decide politically how are you going to manage that space. It's not like, oh, you have your money, you decide whatever you want, and I decide whatever I want. No, we have to go together and decide politically how we do this. And there are some principles of how the commons work. The first one, which makes them different from the market, is the access to the resource. The access to the common goods, to the material resource, should be limited in a certain way. It should be limited to a community. In the market system, whoever has money can buy anything. In a communal system, only can make use of that place a certain group of people. Like in the traditional order, I don't know, maybe I'm getting a little bit... Are you following, or am I getting a little bit lost with the traditional system and the... I'm losing the track, okay. So if you have to decide politically how to use a resource, the first thing you have to do is to decide who, because a material resource I'm talking about, is who is going to access that resource. So you have to limit the community, and that's different from the market. The market is not limited, it's open. It's an open market. Whoever has money can buy anything they want. Here, in this place, you have to be part of the community. So in order to make use of this place, like live here or whatever, you have to be accepted in the community, you have to be, so it's a limited group. That's the first point. And the other, okay, I think I'm gonna stop this thing, and if you are interested. Okay, bueno. The other thing is that the balance between what you give and you take from the community, you cannot make it in a monetary way. So you have to decide, you have to make another way of deciding what you can give and what you take. For example, with the sieves here, no? What you take from the commons and what you have to do some work. Okay, I'm losing my... Any ideas here? There is only one point left. Any questions? Yes.
So in terms of power and hierarchy, it's not really solving a lot, because you shift from a decentralized, anonymous market towards a power based on the community control. So if the community is not managed in a horizontal way, you don't solve the problem of power.
The thing, exactly. I mean, the traditional, we cannot go back really to the traditional commons. So we have to invent new ways of managing the commons. So we have to learn from we
but
can
there
learn
are
from
some
them.
Communities that do that.
What?
I mean, it's not something in the past. There are a lot of stuff that cannot be owned, like market wise. And I don't know, I'm thinking about water resources, for example. There are a lot of cases that are current. In Europe, you know?
Yes, I mean, like in the traditional commons, there are not so many, but I mean, there are state managed.
Women's work.
What?
Women's work.
Women's work.
We have to rethink that, but I don't know. The way you presented that, it looked like the commons is this fantastic place where you can learn about that.
I'm just saying that in the past it was how everything was working, and nowadays it's like. But the main idea here is that.
I'm sorry, I still think the majority of economic activity is coming from the commons, and I think if you cut what is done in the commons, you just don't have.
Okay, like what? Like you are talking about not
reproductive
work. Of course. I'm talking about, okay, the commons is like a general concept, but the traditional commons, like with these rules that Eleanor Ostrom study and all that stuff, that that particular way, that's what I'm saying, it's limited and it's like, it works in certain places, but it's not so much. But reproductive work and non-unpaid work and all that stuff, of course, is there. No? But the key issue here, I think, is to supersede the logic of the market. The logic of you make your individual decisions with your individual freedom with your money, because that's how the market says things should be solved. And in their ideology, that's the maximum freedom for the individual. But in order to not do that, we need community, some kind of community control, some kind of political. I mean, we have to solve that thing, that problems that the market solve in a political way. So it might, I mean, you can design it so it's like you allow freedom of individual. You can design it in different ways, but the issue is that you have to, I mean, you understand what I mean with political decisions? Like when you make that decision all together and that everybody's linked to that decision. And that's a way of control, but, no? But this is what we are, like we are not alone, we are not individuals, we are part of a community. So when you are part of the community, you have to give part of your individual freedom, because you have to make decisions together, you have to compromise, you have to...
Not necessarily, I think.
No, go ahead.
Like in a voluntary association of the people who only like gather for that concrete like thing they want to do together, they don't necessarily have to make decisions which, or they can't make decisions which overrule other people.
But that's not a community.
That's not a community, correct?
That's the individualist way of organization. But yes.
That's also why I think that your like traditional ways of organization are not a better way of organizing things in contrast to something like an empire, but like they have equal disadvantages. The big disadvantage for like traditional ways of organizing is that fluctuation was not nearly as common as it's today in like our city with cities and everything. And so migration as a way to change from one community to the other, to wander from one community to the other, is actually a good means of serving communities which are more fitting to you and which like provide better freedom to you.
Yes, like I think the issue here is that we have like the traditional order, which has a lot of bad things too. Like it's controlling, like people are not free, people can be, if you are different from your community, your community will kick you out or mistreat you or whatever. So that's, we don't want to go back to that, and it probably is not possible to go back to that. And also the cosmopolitan, neoliberal place we live nowadays have some, I mean, good things for the people who have money. No, they have freedom, they can move, they can do a lot of things. It can be open, you can accept everybody and all that stuff, as far as they have money, no? So we want to make another thing that can have this, all this individual freedom and collective freedom. I didn't understand the first part. So you think it's the
by talking about the different forms of social organization, we could do or which exist, we are talking about the humans that come out of it.
But that's a big, that's a huge debate there, because is there a human nature or not? Or we are just product of what society makes us? So,
but there are assumptions about human nature.
But you think these assumptions are real or not? They are completely not real. Okay, this is a debate. Like, is there something that is basic in the humans, like basic needs or things like that, or not? I think there has to be a little, I mean, something, and there is a lot that is produced and socially created, that's for sure, but maybe there is something, I don't know.
Bread and roses.
What?
Bread and roses.
Ah.
Pani circo.
Aristotle, we are social animals.
I like what existentialism has to say about this, because it's the possibility that humans can change, and also human nature can change, of course, and enables not only us to define who we want to be and in this direction we want to grow, but also opens the space of thinking about communities and organizations, how they should look like, and what kind of human would emerge out of new forms of organization. So this by actually talking about cool forms of organization and communities or whatever, is enabling us to change the human nature, or those humans who are right now defining this world in a very weird scene.
I think they are very
Anita, please, can you speak up?
Yes, speaking. Speak louder, yeah. I don't know, that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if like this thing is. I mean, this human nature debate is like very complicated, and I'm not able to close it, of course. But there are also things that usually happen a lot. Like when you have a social system, it doesn't matter a little. It's like very transcultural. Like, in different cultures, in different settings, there are certain dynamics that always come. And we can learn how to tackle them or how to manage them. Okay, and to finish, I would like to finish my presentation, then you can discuss whatever you want. We can discuss all together. Like, just
so nice.
No, sorry. No. It's just what I had prepared. And maybe you can tell me what you think of this. These are like hints on social technologies. These are like hints like I've learned or I read about how to think about self-organizing. The first one is I talked a little bit yesterday in the awareness group, is to put the cares in the center. I don't know, cares es cuidados, sí? The cares in the center. So this is like very basic. Like if we are making a group, like any social movement or any social activism, is because we want to improve things, and so the basic issue is to put the cares in the center, because we want to feel okay, we want to make the world better. So we are not gonna do that by fighting each other or feeling bad or whatever, no? So that's the first thing. And what we do in the Hack Lab we are in Madrid is that we open every meeting, every assembly, with a round of feelings, like everybody presents and says like very quickly, I'm tired because whatever, no? Whatever, or I'm very happy, or I'm very excited today, or whatever they want.
How many are you in the assembly?
It's not so many. Like 10, like with a huge assembly like this, you cannot do that. But if you have a small group, it's very nice to begin with that just, how are you feeling today? Like, because people can be like, oh, I'm very stressed because, so if you said it, that stress you have from whatever problem you have, you're not gonna express it there. No? So it's a way to just give a few minutes to listen to the people. And the other point is the point of cares. So if there is any problem, any issue, any conflict that has been in the past days, that's the first point to treat. Like, the first point is the cares point. So everybody's okay, we had a problem, whatever. And it was very useful because we had a lot of issues, and this way we managed to solve it more or less. So that's the first hint. The other one, the other three, are a different sets of balance, like things we have to balance in a group. The first one is to balance the individual and the collective, to balance the interests and the abilities and the
motivations
and everything from the individual and the collective. So you have to balance these two things, because if you are working from the collective and you are not satisfied yourself, that's not okay, no? In order to do that, it's important to map or to scrutinize the individual's needs and the individual's abilities and all that stuff. And to everybody in the group, so everybody in the group knows what are the individual interests, the individual abilities, the individual situation of everyone. And the other one is to have strong collective principles or aims. So to put together this, who we are as a collective, what are our communal aim, what unites us, to have a balance between these two things. So that's the first balance. The second balance is the balance between production and reproduction. So here I also talk about the balance between infrastructure and superstructure, like following a little bit the Marxist terms. So what is needed for the group to be alive and to work and to continue? That's the infrastructure. That's the reproduction means. And that's necessary, and that has to be completely... there has to be complete agreement on that. There has to be, like, the need for unite and collective decision on that is very important. Because otherwise people will, like the invisibilized works of women, usually, no, in society. Like, you have to be clear and that. And the superstructure is what builds the system, what builds the sense of the system? Why? I mean, when you are doing activism, the superstructure is the actions you make to follow your political purpose or whatever. No, the things you make in the world to express your political aim, and the infrastructure is what you need to be alive. So one with the other, that didn't make sense. Here is very clear, because we have the daily shifts. That's the infrastructure. It's what we need to be alive here, to eat and to have stuff and to the basic needs. And the superstructure is the talks. What are the notes? So to have a balance between these two things. And it's very important to make the infrastructure or the reproductive works, to make them visible and to tackle them in an explicit way. And the integration between, okay, these levels have to be integrated, no? And the more similar the group is, the better they are usually integrated. But they don't have to be, I mean, you only have to hit total consensus in the infrastructure. That's where you need real consensus. And the superstructure, you can allow their difference or whatever you want, no? For example, here the talks, we can make all the talks be just in the same topic, and we can control that a lot, or we can disperse it and let everybody talk about whatever they want. But with the infrastructure, we need consensus. And the last one is the balance between authority and freedom. And here it's very important, the concept of authority, to use it in a limited way. Like, some people talk about instrumental authority. So you allow authority to someone because it's an instrument, it makes a function, like in an assembly, the moderator. So the moderator has the authority to say, you shut up because it's not your turn, he speaks. So that's an authority he's imposing or she is imposing on the people, but it's limited. It's limited in the time, it's instrumental. If he or she does it wrong, people can say, okay, you're doing it wrong, whatever. And this authority has to come with a responsibility, of course. What responsibility is very interesting, the meaning of the word, because it means to be able to respond of your action, responsibility, so to be able to give a response, to be able to. And another thing that I have observed that is very interesting is when things are not, which usually happens a lot in our social organizations, when something is not, there is not a specific protocol, people make decisions on the run. Like, for example, we were sitting there, and who is responsible to say, like, okay, let's sit and let's begin the assembly? Who is responsible for that? Like, nobody. There is nobody. We look at Meskio and, Meskio, please do it. But it's informal, because we don't have, like, a formal thing to do, you know? So this is the...
Because Meskio's voice is very loud.
Yeah, and because we all know him, and because...
my authority.
Or also you began to clap, like it's like what we do, which was a very interesting way of doing it collectively, instead of pulling up and say like, hey, listen to me, we have to begin the, you began to clap, so other people follow you, so to observe how this works. It's important to observe this, because that's a way of authority, informal authority, that we need, is needed, because I mean, it can be collective or it can be in different ways, but to observe how these decisions are made. And to recognize it and everything. And also that's, I mean, usually in a lot of groups happen that when people has to, they informally, they have to take action to make something happen, they are claiming an authority informally that gives them power over the organization. So in one sense, I mean, if you have experience in social movements or social organizing, I'm sure you have seen this. Like somebody, like everybody looks at him and or she or her, and that person has power, and he accumulates power because he does something that is needed. So on the one hand, his work or her work is needed because he's making things happen, but on the other hand, he's accumulating power. So it's important to observe that, to balance that, to make that explicit, to systematize that so that person is not always the one doing it. So it's important to pay attention to these processes. And the last one, and related to this, yes. No, it's related to this equilibrium, this balance between formality and informality. Like everything being formal, everything being protocolized, we don't want that. So we need to have an equilibrium. So it's organized and also it's like some. And the basic idea is that the principal rules, like related to this authority issue, is what rules is the principles. What rules is the common aims, not the people. What rules is the principles, not the people. That's it.
Organizing in software developments that are linked to strong hands-on practice. And how do you think the analysis of what you do on a daily level when you relate to other developers' community can be translated to the form of organization you are describing here? And I'm sure that there are links that can be explored.
In software development? Of course. The steps in the technological process, you mean? The first one is to decide the code, to decide the...
Somehow correlated with what you're presenting that comes from other sources, and to ask whether it would be interesting to somehow put the two together and just examine it.
Of course, there is a lot of ways of organizing software development that is really, really protocolized and is really, really well done. So that's a very huge.
That's it, and I think it's a big source that is relatively unknown in a social thinking environment, that they all do know about the Linux from the, you know, what principles of the commons, but they don't know about other processes that can be done in other communities, and maybe it would be nice also to render visible those. Yes.
The thing that I, the, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I would propose that now we have a collective conversation. I don't like there is something like it's great career, but.
But can I just say something about that? So you are claiming authority over the talk now? Why? Okay, so there are turns. I want to take turns.
He's taking the turn. Or you want to take them?
No, no. So you are taking my authority away, and okay.
Whether they work with software or not, this questioning I think are healthy. I want you to second one particular point without making it sound like shameless advertisement, is the notion of care. I think it is absolutely critical in the sense of a primary objective for any movement. I think it's part of this uncountable, unappropriable, rather hard to extract and capitalize on type of activities we want to have together to create something else. And I just want to point about hacking with care, which is an informal network going by affinity that we created with fellow comrades, about mutualizing technologies of care, especially in relation to hacking activism and these very peculiar ways of life we are living and peculiar risks we are exposed to. I think it will be discussed in the burnout session, among others, but I want to point you to the wiki of Hacking with Care to get an idea of how you can practically start to appropriate technologies of care such as massage, relaxation, yoga, plants, etc.
Okay.
Because you said that in your hack lab, you started a kind of
filling rounds.
Filling
rounds.
You took from feminism movement of the care staff and social education. And I was interested how it was the process to arrive this, because sometimes I feel that in the hackers or nerds movement, there is a kind of a feeling autism sometimes. So the don't hate me, please. But how it arrived at this need, and how did you manage these things? Because I guess that maybe someone in the
I think that happened because this hack lab and the other hack lab that a lot of people come from were developed in social centers that had a strong feminist attitude. So that was like kind of inherited from the whole social center. So the whole social center was like feminist everywhere and the cares, so we kind of inherited that. And we also had problems with, like, some of the problems are people that come from another environment and they go with this hacker stuff, hacker attitude, like I'm a super, like tech, what matters is like technicality and, you know? And related to that, I'm not going to use the term to answer to that. In the social development community, there are a lot of very, very innovative ways of organizing, of social organization. The thing is that, and they are very useful, but there is the aim is simple, because the aim is to build good software. So it's also other things. But no, that's not simple. I mean, you don't have so many maths. So I mean, when you have political action and you have like people in, I mean, I don't want to say simple in a bad way, but the aim is to build good software.
Okay.
So that makes it like, but that makes it even more interesting how they, I'm not explaining myself well.
Well, the community part of software building, I think it's huge. That's the, I think everyone would agree that it's the condition of success of development. You have a community base, so there's a lot of experience there. There's a lot of good and bad experience. And it's a work, I'm just calling out because it's a work that is done. And I think people like it to be done, but people don't know it.
Yeah, I agree.
There was one turn there and one turn there. Anything else? Yeah, costing
$1
acres, you know,
I don't know, like I felt that something was a little bit missing in the analysis, because I feel that there's also always they need to have a balance. Yeah, between specialization, like in a collective or social group, there's always like a need to balance between specialization and generic things, no? So there are some tasks that everybody needs to do, like cleaning the toilet, no? This, like, and there are some tasks that maybe require some specific attitudes, motivational skills that would be maybe, I don't know, fiscal evasion, asking for funding, making a campaign, no? And all the groups, they always have to spend a lot of time trying to achieve, are we like a group that is going to have like people with a specialization, or are we creating some generic tasks that we want everybody to be on the level? I think that communities that are standing in a place, in a physical place, they require more, you know, this balance, because they require, they have to do a lot of things that everybody needs to know how to do, like run the kitchen and make an event and spreading and all these things. And in other collectives, it's just like, because just get fixed in the specialization. So that's one area, and I think it's very important to understand a dynamic of a group and possible challenges and problems that comes from here. And then the first of all, what you say between the individual and the collective level, they are like this tendency, like some things I like to do, but I'm bad to do. Some things I'm good at doing and I enjoy doing. And other things I'm very good at doing and I don't enjoy doing. So everybody is in this situation, no? And a collective can go to help if the people are not in the role they want, no? Like you can be very good at asking for it, but you don't want to do it anymore. So you need another person at one moment to step in. But this kind of transition that are motivation, skills, attitude, no? Sometimes we don't talk about it. It's like, you are good at doing it, just keep doing it, and but it doesn't mean you're enjoying it. Or you are bad at something and you keep doing it because you enjoy it and people are not telling you, please stop doing it. So I think this is also like a transversal dimension of all social groups, and that a lot of times we don't discuss about these things.
As a community manager, I wanted to reply to you, that also relates to this specialization issue. Community manager, in these software projects, usually the person who is also either also interacting with the users and getting user feedback, usually writing also blog posts about what is actually happening, managing the conflicts. If we have like sometimes in a forum, for example, in a support forum, people are yelling at each other, usually that and stuff like that. It's actually like I get paid for it. And I really don't like that this is a job and that this is a specialization issue, because in the end, a bit like an awareness team, it's community work and looking out for each other and checking for who needs what and who has which information and how are the people I work together with are actually collaborating. This is something every one of us should do a tiny bit. And so this it's something which also like it gets more fun, I think, if everyone does it. If everyone is also validating themselves for it, because if you see, okay, I care for this, you care for this, we all care for this, it's a positive reinforcement of the same mechanisms, and this usually creates healthy communities which really not only look out for each other, but also attract more people who want to participate and collaborate, and in the end this leads to also like strong movements because more interesting stuff is happening there, and more interesting people grow in there. also less, I don't have to spend that much energy with managing emotional hazards when you come out of conflict or something. So shout out to everyone who actually brings effort and caring for other people.
Very short thing, Danny, related to that. Very short.
Yeah.
I think what you described is an ecological problem, because you need to manage, like a manager of a community. A community that's working well is actually led, inspired, and the things that don't come from management.
I also want to add some points to the talk, and like somehow there were things that are really interesting, especially like going back to this point of like, I like the concept of the mega machine for understanding the state, all the spheres, state structures that are built. That I think that's important. That like the next step that is like somehow like pointed by Hobbes in the point of Leviathan to give this divine figure of the state of this mega machine that can do everything, that it's omnipresent. But what I find in the analysis that it's somehow it's the main critique that we can do to Marx is not this idea to put a lot of focus on the material stuff, on the infrastructure things, and don't give value to the like the moral, to the ethics, to the value that create the community and allow the community to be a society. Because at the end, you can put a lot of focus on technology and the material value and the infrastructure, how the things are organized. But what makes a society is also the ethics that the people share, the values that the people share. And I think that it's really related with the topic that you bring of the caring, like which kind of social relations do we want to have? Because what do we think that it's correct in an ethical way to approach to the others and to relate with the others? And I think it's really interesting also the points that were mentioned about what means authority, what means responsibility, these informal hierarchies. Because somehow it's really common in these environments to try to deny every kind of authority, any kind of hierarchy. But of course, this thing happens. And it's funny that when we talk about that, everyone look at Mehdi because he's the one that is always starting the assemblies. But this, I think it's really important, this point of responsibilities. Like somehow these informal hierarchies happen because there is people that is taking responsibility for do something. And it's like putting time and effort to take a responsibility to be sure that this thing is done. And this thing somehow is bringing authority. And it's important to be able to share this authority, that it's some people that want to also dedicate effort and time to go like for months coming here before and preparing these kind of things and taking care of the mailing list. These things are the things that create these authorities.
Yeah,
I know that of course you're not the only one, but of course like these kind of things are happening. And I think it's important also to open this kind of debates that horizontal communities, for me, it's not that authority is not existing, responsibility is not existing, it's that these kind of things are known and shared and we know how they work, and it's something that we need to discuss for being able to challenge these kind of structures. And of course, these informal hierarchies, sometimes it's difficult to ask for accountability because it's not a clear responsibility, so we need to think how we want to develop responsibility and authority for not have these informal authorities that happen. And it's something that sometimes it's difficult to open the topic, but I'm happy that it was open.
You mentioned from authority comes responsibility. I want to add from freedom comes responsibility.
I find in many spaces that I've been part of, I find really hard to deal with specialization, because that means that at some point there is a bunch of people that have this specialization that does this work, maybe they actually enjoy it a lot, and there is a lot of work that no one wants to do that everybody can do, so that like cleaning toilets in a social center. So many people, many tech people will spend the whole time maintaining the network and keeping all the infrastructure, like electricity, all these things that are fun to do, and they will never clean the toilets because everybody can do it, so then specialized people will do it. And I find it really hard to balance that, and yeah, I don't know how to do it, but yes. And one of the key points is what you were saying about not invisibilized, like all the feminist rhetoric of make it explicit, all this work that is needed to be done.
Okay, on specialization, I think this division between what what are the reproductive works and like the infrastructure, the reproductive works and the productive works, I think it's better not to specialize people on the basic productive work and to share them all together. And another thing is this thing of observing authority. The issue is to observe the dynamics of authority and to intervene on them. Like, it's very complicated how it works, and sometimes there are things that you cannot decide on from the start, no? But just observing it. And also this invisibilization, like what you said, like there are people doing things and some nobody knows why, but some people do a lot of things, take a lot of responsibility, and nobody really sees that. And some people do a little bit, some things, and everybody, you know what I mean? And you don't really know why, how it works. Like, no, I mean, there's no evil plan in, I'm gonna just do this to, like, it's just informed. But making it visible and formal and recognizing it, it's important to make that visible.
What do you call reproductive work?
Reproductive work is what is necessary for the organization or the system to continue living. Like cleaning, making buying stuff.
It's like when you clean, you also do the things, you have the meeting times, all these things that
food.
Finally isn't there and not visible, but it's totally necessary to achieve your productive paid labor. Labor for productive work is for production. I didn't know it was put on the same level, and that kind of very strange.
Just to clarify, just the sense of it, I think it's just all work that must be done over and over again, and don't create something from themselves. Like if you clean, like must clean again. Yeah.
And 1, 2, 3.
I think I'm a good example of what you were saying. Like, I'm not the only one organizing this event, and somehow I end up being the key person that many people come to me. Because I scream a lot, or I'm too present in the middle of the spaces, I don't know why, and many people kind of recognize me as a person that moves things, but I'm by far the only one that has been putting a lot of effort on doing it. So there's a lot of hidden work in my back that I'm actually kind of profiting of being a famous person in the event or whatever, by other people doing all the work that is not noticed. And I'm not sure how to overcome that, but yeah. Yes.
Marxist thinks productive and reproductive labor, and also along the other line, productive labor being what like the proletariat is doing at the workplace, also over and over again, like every day you can go there, but in the end there is a product, an object which has been sold on the market and has created some value and all of this, and it's recognized by the market. Reproductive labor, in contrast to that, is the work which needs to be done so the worker can go to work again the next day. So it's also done day to day. The product of the reproductive labor is actually the worker being able to work again the next day. This is traditionally, of course, done along the gender line, and it's also usually very hidden work, which is why, which is also one of the, of course, feminist issues, and why it also reproductive work in a special place like the UN. Is often hidden in that very net, and it's not that hidden here because we have like a shape and talked about how. But that's just like where I think the term comes from and the academic distinction. I think it's very useful because it also highlights the conversation.
Yet for the discussion, I was wondering if we should also make our accountability of the involvement of people in a community or a project change. I was saying that. How could we imagine another way to make accountability of the involvement of people? Because there is also this meritocracy phenomena where Mescu is doing many things and is becoming the star of PhD. Let's say like that. But also we could think that the people who clean the toilets are the best.
It's Mescu.
Yeah.
Not today, no.
And so inverse this meritocracy. Accountability of the involvement in the community. I don't know if it's clear. It's also related to the commons. Kind of questions.
Yeah, I wanted to add on the issue of invisibility of some staff and visibility of some people, also related to gender
kind of clear to me that some people, like women, we are raised not to be seen and not to be seen in what we do, and to be invisible, not to be loud, not to take place, not to take space, not to allow our voice. Again, it comes the thin line where you have what we socially construct all together and the background of the culture we are growing into. So I don't find that so much puzzling. To me, it's clear that there is someone which is more on the front line and not, but I'm glad we bring it up. So again, the idea of not visualizing what's happening is good. But I think I have a clear, to me, there is a clear explanation of that. There are some people who are not taking space and not taking their voice.
And for example, the people recognized me as cleaning the toilet, but there was a lot of more people, and there was a bunch of women in the group as well. And I'm the one recognized that the day that the toilet was, there was a pile of shit that was needed to be actually picked up. I was one of the team, but Inifugo did most of the work, so.
Inifugo did a lot.
Yeah.
I also think that linking a bit with what I say, you know, like some kind of this moral value and also the social value, like to give value to the people, but it's something that also in the Marxist approach we cannot, it's not there, but to use Marx and this kind of terminology, like this social capital, like when you know a lot of people, you also have a lot of value. And sometimes I'm a bit sad of this, but this social value is in the bar. Like it's really related with the alcohol and with the staying until late, talking with people. But this brings also a lot of like this kind of social power, because when a person is known to everyone, this brings like a lot of recognition, because everyone can recognize this person. And the person that is going for years in every different hack meeting all the people and trying to bring together a community, this is like a lot of work, but it's also this social capital that it has an accumulation, but it's something that is needed at the time of create a community to try to interlink and connect different communities that are growing with some with an idea, with a common goal of thinking which kind of technology do we want, and connect these different groups. And this is also a lot of work, that it's this social accumulation somehow, that it's really related with how we socialize and how we connect as human beings.
As a quick side note to that, I used to think as well that alcohol was the great equalizer, and this very universal thing to make people get to connect with each other, before I found out that it was actually something slightly discriminant. As some billion people on this earth, we may have a culture that prohibits alcohol, or people may have made an individual choice to not drink alcohol, and therefore may not share the euphoria and the late schedule as the others.
Yeah, but the day definitely remember the conversation.
Yeah, but
I
think it's important to underline that the social value of everyone, in this case it's the social interaction and the link and the bridge that we are able to build between each other, between every community, because it's not the talk, the important stuff during an event like this, I think. It's more the social meeting that you can do during, maybe in the bar, but it's not needed the alcohol or the drugs to do that. I mean, someone thinks that it's the only way to get to enjoy the night, but the important stuff is to socialize and to build a link and bridge between different worlds in order to contaminate and get value from this. So this the way we can appreciate and get the value of something, and then understand how an event works or how some stuff have been done, how hierarchy works or not works, and
yeah, I wanted to go back to the thing of the invisibilization of some certain works, and about the perspective on social technologies. Like, if you see that's a problem, you can make a new rule or a new procedure to make that works visible. Like, for example, you know, before the meeting, okay, who did this or who did that? No, I remember in an assembly, everybody was talking about cleaning the social center and everything, and one day everything was clean. And nobody knew who cleaned it. So somebody asked, like, okay, who did this? Who cleaned it? And a woman that was there, that she usually is not like recognized for anything, but I cleaned everything. And she cleaned all the place. Like, it was a huge place. So to systematize that could be a good way of doing it.
But I still have the fear that this way of social control could be really overwhelming. Like the idea that you gather all together in an assembly and everyone has to raise their hand if they did something, it gives me the feeling of sort of community police, where if I have like a bad day and I have my period that I couldn't do anything, everyone will be there judging me because I didn't raise my hand. So you see,
No,
it's something like, I'm not saying it's, but I want to keep in mind that every kind of social control has always to be processed over and over, because you may end up in a really huge, like, judgmental social control or social technology control and management.
I think what happens is that there's not enough people on the shift. If they were full, we would not spend time on that.
No, but I think it's a balancing, no? We should answer you. I mean, it's a kind of balancing. For example, in the social center where I come from, sometimes, most of the time, reproductive work is lead to improvisation, because turns. There's the thing is that making turns for things, it's too much organizing, it's kind of authority or something. So in the end, or no one is doing it, or there are two, three people that do it, or it's just give to the people that have interiorized that if you find a cheap, you clean it, even if you didn't do it. And most the time this person that she said before, the people that has been grown to think like this, so
what I want to add to that is like this visible and invisible work, and link it with the burnout. You have always in social groups that I see, like, always the more motivated people that take a lot of tasks and do a lot of things that are not seen or not recognized, and the one who talks a lot that do actually not that much work. That if you kind of are assembly and organize on a horizontal way, that you can really protect the people from themselves and say, okay, we need someone else to do this. I mean, it's not always the same person that has to do all the tasks to organize the things and the core work that is maybe not that productive, but it's very necessary for the continuation of the organization. And it's something that is neglected. Like, you know, people like think, oh yeah, if this person is motivated, he's doing it well, so let's leave this person doing it. While this person maybe is not very secure of her or himself and just want to belong to the group and continue taking a lot of tasks, and after it's just crashing and not being able to continue. So I think it's a kind of responsibility of the whole group to be aware of that. Like, there's two people that are doing a lot of work. We have to protect them, and like, we have to share the tasks, and maybe every time take some other people to do the rest of the tasks, and the tasks, not one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was something really related to what you're saying, that sometimes we need to shift the narrative in the collective. We are very good at criticizing things that are not working. It's something that we do a lot in our collectives, no? To stay to another person and critic, no? But we don't need to have somebody saying, I did that, because the collective pay attention, we can underline the good things that the other people did. But this is like something that we need to train in your collective, to shift the narrative before communicating about things you didn't do. Things you did, things you achieved, things you know, to understand. So it doesn't come from you, it comes from the rest, and everybody gets this share of that easy. You need to train. The collective needs to train to be able to get through that problem.
Okay, no more questions.
We are half an hour or 40 minutes.
It's okay, we don't have to feel it.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Since this is about social technologies, I'd like to suggest that we try implementing something like this at the next assembly tomorrow morning. That would require that each team gathers, which means new things to do for shifting teams, like the bar or the info points, to gather and find someone who will make a report as the team for what's been going on, which would mean also that, for example, people who make all the shifts at the info point can tell, okay, we have this issue, and others with more knowledge can help them, and so we can also improve the process over time, and also recognizing each other as, you know, part of something. Instead of doing task by task, we go team by team and report, and who's going next, refer to these people if you need to learn.
I mean, in specific terms, it would be like before, instead of saying like this is the shift and everything, to report on the shifts of the day before. And give a little time for the people, no?
So that new people who never did this can also see what's going on, you know? And can also refer to people who did it, and because somehow people who don't like to speak publicly, they won't go and say, hey, I want to take this shift. But maybe they can go to a reference and tell it, hey, can you explain how it works, and maybe I can do it.
No reference. We need to define reference then.
You can always go to the info point and join to a
I mean, I think what point we would be like, just to the shifts on the day before, to report, to give a little report, so you hear, like, okay, I did this, and, no? So that would be the referee, no? The shift of the day before.
It's a bit complicated when in the shifts, like, the bar shift is probably 20 different people. That they were in completely different hours. There is not like a group coordinating that, so it's a bit complicated too.
Yeah, but you can, when you leave a shift, you can talk to the next person.
Yeah.
And maybe take notes and stuff.
You're proposing a new structure.
Yeah.
And who will take care of the
interaction?
That's
the
first part.
We will have a little report in the shift of the day before. So.
But somehow I think that it's what you were saying, right? Like it's a process. Any kind of social technology takes time to implement them, and you need also like structure to implement that. It's not easy. Just to say a proposal, it's not going to change the assembly if there is not a group of people committed to make this change.
Yeah, but we're in a special environment, so maybe we are ready to experiment.
Yes, it's an experience. We can do it.
So you can try to put effort on this initiative for
sure,
ensure that it happens tomorrow.
Sure, I can talk to people and ask them in their shift to report to the next person.
Perfect.
Let me know if you need the help.
Thank you very much for coming to this.
Thank you very much.